Charlie, Quebec. Fire. Well, I am mobile. Still morning. Got 3/4 of an hour left. How you doing? Friday, how about yourself? I'm just sitting in the parking lot for Publix at Fireport. Lane just left and she's going in there. I just dropped off a return package from Amazon at the UPS board. They sent the wrong thing. Matter of fact, it was totally wrong. It wasn't even related to what I ordered. So supposedly they're sending what I wanted. It's supposed to be here tomorrow, and I got the wrong package yesterday. But it wasn't even close to what I ordered. What happens if I can get wrong instructions on a beam? I guess that can happen on a shipment like that. I don't want a bunch of sleeves, like compression sleeves, for like on an antenna where you go through the insulator and you can put the wires through the sleeves and then you can compress them down to hold the wire in place. But I had ordered a whole kit of different sizes and sleeves and thimbles and stuff like that. But what they sent me instead was a 2XS, two sizes extra small, Voyager cat harness. Not even close. Fine quality control in the shipping department. Yeah, when I saw the package, I said, oh boy, they sent me the wrong thing. Actually, I think they do an amazingly good job. As many packages as they probably put out the door, this is really the first time I've ever got anything that is wrong. I've had to send a couple things back where they just didn't work, but that wasn't Amazon's fault. But, when I saw that package, I said, don't believe this is going to be the right stuff.
The volume they do, the error rate is probably pretty low, but anyway, it is what it is. Well, I had to bring our son Ben to Greenville to pick up a rental car. He's getting ready to drive to Carbondale, Illinois today. So I just dropped him off at the rental car place, and I'm headed back to the house to go back to work. Over. That W word. Well, that's a long drive. Is he going to drive it one day? My friend is from there, and she's up there. her father passed away a few months ago, and they're having a memorial service tomorrow, so he's driving up to be there. He's done it before. It's a long drive, but it can be a one-day thing. And then in about a week, the two of them will come back in her car because she teaches at Limestone College in Gaffney, so he'll ride back with her.
Well, I guess that's one way to get out of the house. It's a lot of driving, but at least he's got the right company covered.
Yeah, the two of them have done that trip a number of times before, so he knows. You know, it's not like it's the first time or anything. It's about a, depending on how many times you stop, it's an 8 to 10 hour drive.
That's a long ways. That's like driving to my brother's in Orlando. It's an 8 to 10 hour drive. It's 8 hours if I don't stop very much. It's 10 hours if I do. Or if it's a weekend traffic, that sort of thing. That's a long drive. I've done that a number of times by myself. I don't like doing it. I probably won't do it again. But by myself, that is. Oh, well, how's work going?
That's more of the same, like what I was talking about when we were on the mountain. Just keep going and going. But, yeah, that drive, the two sticking points are Knoxville and Nashville. once he gets through those, if you can get through those without too much of a rush hour thing, it's pretty much open road, you know, beyond that. Well, that's like when you go to, I go to Orlando, the major choke points are Jacksonville and then Orlando itself. In Orlando, they've been totally redoing I-4 that went from like Cape Canaveral over to Orlando. In Orlando, they were widening it. I mean, unbelievable. They've been working on that. They've been working on that for probably 10 years. And in downtown Orlando, where I-4 goes through, totally torn up. The last time I went down there, my poor GPS, it was ready to croak. Those big cities like that, there's always some kind of construction project. And so you know, doesn't bode well with travelers. I'm speaking of Orlando, I'm sort of tentatively planning to go to the Hamfest in Orlando this coming February, assuming they have it. They do. You know, everything's still up in the air. The way things are going, I don't think it's actually going to be any better than it has been. Maybe by then they'll have some vaccines. Enough people get the vaccine, it might start helping it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I usually go to that Ham Fest. Of course, this past year I didn't. I like to go down there and visit my brother. So I'm just kind of, everything's on hold as far as I'm concerned. I'll just have to see what it's like then. Well, I've never been, so I want to try to go. And there's a group on 3950 that I talk with sometimes in the evening. A bunch of those go, and they've kind of talked me into trying to go. We'll see, you know, what happens between now and then. And there's a lot of mileage between now and then, so who knows? But I thought Matt's little presentation was pretty good. He did a good job on that. And I think the biggest thing to carry away from that is we do need 160. Of course, we tried. I need to get that going because there's been some easy multipliers down there. And because when you change band like that, and no one's been on the band, almost everything's a multiplier. Multiplier. The other thing is we need some more CW operators if we're gonna do a multi-mode contest. But that was good. The other thing, I need to start changing the operator, because I never did do that on me. And whoever, unless somebody changed it before I got in there, they got the credit for the CW, or at least good part of it. Over.
Realize that. Yeah, I know it's easy to forget that kind of thing. I think I changed it for the times that I did it, but oh well, if I didn't, you know, it ain't a big deal. But yeah, I agree, a more balance between sideband and CW would be good.
Points, you know, if you get a few more people on CW, it just, because what happens is most of those stations are going to be new stations. I mean, it's just, it's much easier to keep the rates up that way. So, but yeah, I never did realize that we're changing the name on there. Next time I'll be aware of it. I just normally don't do that. Over.
Yeah, well, when you're operating yourself, it's just you don't have to. So that was a different setup. But yeah, anyway, we'll work on that for another event. That'll be good. Did you get your ground plane up?
It was, I'm trying to think, it's 2 weeks ago, maybe? I can't. Time just flies. Yeah, I think I've had it maybe a week and a half up. And it works very well. I'll be operating a NAQPCW this weekend. I'm on a team in that as well. And I'll be using the ground plane to see how it works. One thing in a contest, one thing that I've noticed about it is the interaction between that antenna, the ground plane, on 40 meters, and my 20-meter delta loops is less than when I use the 160 antenna on one radio in the 20-meter delta loops on the other. And typically, probably the majority of my contacts is one radio is operating on 40, the other one's on 20, you know, simultaneously. And I guess because the ground plane is vertically polarized, it's also further away than the 160 antenna from those loops. There's less interaction. It's not a big problem anyway, but I can't tell the difference. N4IQ.
This, if I remember right, this ground plane you put up was a 40 meter, is that right?
Yeah, it's a 40. And my primary antenna up to this point on 40 has been the 160 Carolina Wyndham, which works like gangbusters on 40. I think it great reports. So I'm really curious to see how the ground plane is going to work in a real situation. Just by doing comparisons, like in the evenings, I think the 40 meter ground plane is going to work very well. I've already got a 80-meter vertical with a horizontal component to it. That's the one where I use the outside the coax and center feed the 80-meter inverted L at the top of the antenna at about 55 feet. That works really well. There's no radials for that. Don't need it. So essentially I've got 80 and 40. Covered with some pretty good vertical radiation for the longer haul contacts. Over.
Well, it sounds like once you get this one, when you get a test on this one you just put up, it'll be good to compare really all of them, you know, do a comparison among three or four different antennas, just see what your results are. That would be an interesting study.
I think I'll know pretty good. Of course, this is not a DX contest this weekend, but there'll be a lot of West Coast stations, and there'll be some Caribbean stations and stuff like that. There won't be any exotic DX on it, but it'll be a good test. And by the way, the standing wave on that 40-meter ground plane is almost flat from one end of the band to the other. It is really, really good. I've got the base of it up about 20 feet. So, I mean, I can't even begin to reach the bottom of the box where the coil is. But I have drooping radials coming down from about 20 feet to the ends where it's about 10 feet. It really works. It works good.
A quick standby with you. I got a phone call. I'll be right back. K4RM.
Okay. K4RM, N4IQ.
YQ, K4RM. Sorry about that.
Still here.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to hear your report on the one you just put up to see how it does. And I've already had an exchange with Matt about getting together to work on my 160-meter up there in the mountains. We're just looking for a time when we can both go up there and kind of take it down and troubleshoot it. But we'll get something good going eventually on that band, and then we'll should have pretty much everything covered.
Definitely need it, though, if we're serious about increasing the points. You you need to be on 160, that's for sure. So what is he thinking about using?
Got to take that one down and, you know, troubleshoot it and see if we can get it working. And then I don't know if you saw Bob's email. He was mentioning a different approach for 160. So, you know, we may have two possibilities there.
We got Bob's response to Matt.
Yeah.
I saw he did it. I haven't read it yet. I need to read it. I did read Matt's email. Yeah, that was really good. That's nice comparison. Oh, I thought we actually did pretty good, though. You know, for our really first effort like that, I thought it was very good. One thing we need to make sure is next time there's a full-size keyboard up there that can be used. Over.
I think Matt had a little trouble with the smaller keyboard, but that's the problem that can be solved.
Yeah, that's easy to solve. I think most of us have more than one keyboard. But you can plug it right into that USB hub, and you can have three keyboards if you wanted, various sizes. They'd all work in parallel.
Like the smaller keyboard could use it, and whoever liked the larger keyboard could use it. So we could accommodate all needs.
The other thing, if we're going to be using your location very often and CW's operated, we need to have a USB hub and a USB to COM port adapter for keying so that it's just up there for whatever contest we need.
Together off the air on that kind of stuff and kind of put together a list of equipment, that kind of thing. So just keep that in mind.
That's, you know, those plus a USB keyboard and that sort of thing. Anyway, that was really nice. I think everybody had a great time. But the first time is always learning.
And I hope Jim can improve. I guess you saw his email and participate, you know, in the future.
I have a response back. And it must be really difficult to identify exactly what kind of bug he's got. Or maybe he's got multiple bugs.
They have to, sometimes with a situation like that, of course he's dealing with an infectious disease doctor who knows all that stuff, but they have to do a bunch of cultures just to try to isolate, you know, what kind of antibiotic will work against it, or what kind of fungal medicine will work against it.
I think Jim was hoping this last time when he had the endoscopic exams and whatever, they had identified it, but it sounds like maybe they did not.
Understood. Well, I know one time, without getting too detailed here, I had a prostate infection, and it took several tries doing cultures to try to get the right antibiotic, and they finally did, but it took like over a year to clear it up.
Well, you know, I feel for the doctors that work with that kind of stuff, because, you know, it's got to be frustrating for the doctor as well as the patient.
They're kind of, you know, taking their best shot at it, and, you know, the science behind it is not always exact, if I understand it correctly. So, and you got the problem with these kind of things, what he's got is so rare that it's not seen that often.
You know, it's, well, I'm sure they'll figure it out here sooner rather than later. But I know Jim just must feel just terrible. I'm talking about physically. It's no fun to be sick all the time. Good job on those shirts.
Phil, I was going through a drive-thru trying to order some food, and I kind of got a I guess some interference from the speaker. You still there?
Yeah, I think my last comment was Jim did a really nice job on the shirts.
Yeah, they look great, and be something you can wear anytime. You know, going out for a dress up event, you can wear them and they're nice.
That's impressive, world championship team.
Doesn't it?
That is true. It's like I've got a pullover jacket that has, it says the Huntley dive team, Huntley, like the Confederate submarine. And I got it when I was in Charleston. I probably had that now probably 13 years. But I wear that at different places, and I do get comments about it. They ask me about the dive team. You know, it's just, I bought it on the rack down there, but it does look impressive.
K4RM.
Gotcha.
Interesting expedition. the drive-through line at Burger King was quite busy.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's because it's getting pretty close to lunch. Well, ever since you've been talking to me, Lane's been in Publix. And I'm sitting out here in the car with the air conditioner on, and Toby's in the back seat. He's just waiting for his hamburger or something similar to it. He's the most spoiled dog. He's gotten where he doesn't like his dog food anymore. I'm not kidding. He is so spoiled that unless I entice him with something he thinks is more human-like food, he won't eat his dog food.
None other people with pets like that get in that situation. Well, speaking of pets, our lab, I think I told you, had surgery, and the tumor came back benign, so that was a great report.
That's really good. So what are they going to do about it?
Spleen that had the tumor in it, and the tumors, whichever it was, within the spleen were benign, but they were rather unusual. I think the doctor said, or the vet said, that he sees these in less than like 5% of the cases. So he even got a second opinion from a veterinary oncologist, and they think he's going to be okay.
All right, that's super. I know you're relieved. Did you get that card I sent you with a picture of the dog on it?
Yep, that was a nice card, by the way. Mary was really appreciative of it, and we both were.
But I was going to say, that was Prince. And he died about... Gosh, it doesn't seem like about 6 years ago, I guess. And about a year later, I got Toby. But, you know, if I took a picture of Toby and compared it against that print, you probably wouldn't be able to tell them apart. I miss that dog so much, I just had to go get another dog.
How that goes, well, Teddy, the lab, we just had the surgery. Of course, he's a full-blooded, you know, registered lab, and we have his son Murphy, who's 2 years old, with us. We bred Teddy, and got a pick of the litter. I think I can't remember if there were 8 or 9 pups in that litter, but we got Murphy out of that litter, and he's a spitting image of his dad.
That's like having a clone. Elaine's here, and she's trying to talk to me in the back of the car. I can't hear her. So let me say 73. Enjoyed the chat there, Fred. And I'm glad to hear about your dog. K4RM in 4AQ.
We'll chat. You take care and say hello to Elaine. We'll talk later. N4IQ, K4RM.